Okay, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. I'm not planning to give a lesson. I know a lot of times through the summer we have lessons on Thursday night, and they've been good. They've been teaching us some good truths. I would just figure tonight I have a burden on my heart, and I want to give that to you this evening. Luke chapter number 2, begin in verse number 41. It says, "Now his parents," talking about Jesus, "went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Then we drop down to verse number 46. Of course, the family left, Jesus stayed behind. In verse 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him," Jesus, "in the temple." Again, he's a 12-year-old boy. He wanted to be in the temple. And then it said, "sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." It's funny, he was asking the questions. They couldn't answer it, so he gave them the answers. He wasn't just asking questions. He was teaching. And the Bible says in verse number 48, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Now, father there in that verse is lowercase. And in verse 49, "And he said unto them, How is it that she sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my," capital letter F, "my father's business." Get that there idea. He says, "I must be about my father's business." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'll use this message. Lord, it's been challenging, convicting to me. I pray that it'll help your people. Lord, we've got to get serious about your business. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think the most important business in the world is? Now, if you ask some people in the IT sector, they would say, well, it's technology. Man, we're going to change the world through technology. Well, we've got more advances in technology today, and our world is actually worse. So technology is not the most important business in the world. Some people might say medicine. And if you've got health problems, you appreciate good medicine. I wish there were some doctors that could help me a little more than they have. I like the fact that there is modern medicine that can help us with some of our problems. But that's not the most important business. So education, see, we're having a meeting tonight after church. Parent, you know, orientation, kicking off the school year for the academy. Sorry, this is not an education message. And sorry, education is not the answer. The most important business is God's business. I've titled the message tonight, "Get in God's Business." Get in God's business. We ought to say like Jesus did, "I must be about my father's business." 12 years old. But he was about his father's business. He wasn't about shooting spit wads when the teacher turns their back. Wasn't about joking and passing notes. He was about his father's business. 12-year-olds, you say you're saved? What are you doing messing around on the technology? What are you doing? Playing games all the time. We're missing something. Have you noticed in the last 4 out of the last 5 sermons, you could almost count last Sunday morning's the same one, have been about the world? Directed to Fairhaven Baptist Church. Now, who picks those messages? God did. I think we are so preoccupied with the world. We're so about our own business. We're so about doing our own thing that we have forgotten God's business. And I'm talking to myself too. It's so easy to get distracted. We're in this world. And people, they long to come to America. I'll tell you what, living in America can be a curse. We've got so many things, so many pleasures, so many comforts, so many distractions. We've got so much. I told my kids today, we had family devotions. I was telling my kids, I said, you know, when I used to be on the mission field, I used to say to my wife and say to myself sometimes, I feel sorry for people who have to live in America and minister there. Now I'm feeling sorry for myself. Because it's so easy to get distracted. Jesus wasn't distracted. I want us to consider, ask yourself, am I so busy with my business that I neglect God's business? I don't know what your business is. He says, it's none of your business. It needs to be about God's business. So let's ask some questions about the business that Jesus was involved in. And we'll turn to several passages of scripture. I hope you'll turn with me and see some things. And then we'll answer those questions from the Bible. I think the first one we're going to ask is this. What was his business? What was his business? Well, let me say this. You can tell a lot about a person and a business the person's involved in by what he does, the tools that he has, what he talks about, the places he goes. And when you think about Jesus, we know what kind of business he was in. He was in the business of souls. That was his business. He was right here in this passage, this text. He's teaching. He is teaching. He's asking questions, but he's teaching them in the temple at 12 years old. Why? Because he was about his father's business. What was his father's business? Telling people about the kingdom. Telling people about the word of God. That ought to be our business. Now that involves soul winning. It also involves discipleship. It involves just trying to train people to love God, to love the Bible, and point them in the right direction. And the greatest enterprise we can ever engage in is the business of winning souls and discipling them. Winning them from sin. Winning them from Satan. Family devotions this evening, we have ours usually in the evening time, was, "Thou hast a name that thou livest, and art dead." There's a whole sermon right there. I told my kids, that's sermon number one. We look right, we talk right, we dress right, we've got the bright Bible, we got it all, and we're involved with ministry, and we got all these lists of good things that we do, and then there's this list of things that we've let slip. And one thing after another, it gets slipping and slipping, and pretty soon we're dead. We got the testimony that we live. We're so attracted to and distracted by the world. We got to be careful about that. All of us have to be careful of that. So what was his business? It was souls. Let's look at his business by what he did and see and prove that he was about souls. First thing we could see under this is that he came for souls. In Luke 19:10, we know the scripture, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose of coming, to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 2:11, we know that, we're familiar with that verse at Christmas time. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," what? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's why he was born. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So not only did he come for souls, but secondly, we see that he lived for souls. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 2. Back to Mark chapter number 2. I'm going to read the first 5 verses here in Mark chapter number 2. Familiar story, we see it says here, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he" what? "He preached the word unto them." That's what he did. "He preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay, Oftentimes we use this passage to show how we ought to have a burden, get people to Jesus. I want you to see something else here. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now what was he doing in the house? Did he go to the house to heal this man? No, he was preaching the word. They brought the sick man, and what did he do? Heal him? No, he forgave his sins. And he only healed the man afterwards to prove that he had the power to forgive sins. You can see that down there in verse 10 and 11. It says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. He lived for souls. That's what he did. Your business ought to be more than just whatever your business is. Building houses, working at the mill, driving a truck, working for the power company, teaching in a Christian school. Our main business is to reach souls with the gospel. You say it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but that's our business. So he lived for souls. He came for souls. He lives for souls. He died for souls. John chapter 1 verse 29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith unto him, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Those innocent lambs were sacrificed to make an atonement for sins, a covering for sins. And Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was punished. Why? So that we could have our sins covered, forgiven. Not just ours. He died for the sins of the world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 2 says, and he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm glad he's my Savior. But he wants to be the Savior of everybody else. And when I get so focused on me and my business, and I'm not thinking about everybody else, then I'm not about my Father's business. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. We all need to work. We all got to go in and make some money. We have to have a job to provide some food and sustenance for our family. But we ought not to be living for that money and longing for that money. There's a lot of things in life I'd like to do. And some of them I do. And some of them I don't do because I know they're going to hinder me from doing what I know God wants me to do. He came for souls, he lived for souls, he died for souls, and not only did he live, he lives currently for souls. He's still alive. He's not dead. He's still about souls. He's in heaven, and what's he doing? He's praying for people, and he's saving people. That's what he's doing. He's still about souls. He's still about his Father's business. You know, we only have one life. You can do it chasing money. You can spend it to, you know, getting all of the things in this world can offer. But when you die, you're not going to have any more time. I'm not going to have any more time to be involved in the Father's business. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he, Jesus, ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you're here this evening and you're not saved, you can be saved today. That's what he's still living to save you, to help you. In short, we can say that he always has been interested in souls being saved from eternal hell. We don't like to think about that, do we? We don't like to think about the reality of hell. Because then we have to do something about it. It's always been his business. It's still his business. And it ought to be our business. Don't we get negligent sometimes? Don't we get lackadaisical sometimes? Haven't you found that you've lost your burden for souls sometimes? Yeah. Yep, Brother Olson. You're right. I lost it. Aren't we so sad? I'm saying we need to be about our Father's business. I need this reminder. So we see, first of all, what was his business? We answered that. Secondly, how did he conduct his business? Please turn with me to Mark chapter number 6. How did he conduct his business? We might be able to learn a few things about it, because if he was about his Father's business and we ought to be about our Father's business, then let's see how he conducted his business, and maybe we could conduct our business the same way and please our Father like he pleased his Father. First one we see is, the first thing about how he conducted his business is he cared about souls. He cared about souls. You know, let's be honest. You know who we care most about? Us. You know, that verse in the Bible didn't say that we have to love ourselves as we love our neighbors. Why? Because no one has a problem loving their neighbor too much. Well, I got to love myself like I love my neighbor. No, we love ourselves too much. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." He came, he saw them, his heart was moved and moved, moving to action. He just didn't have sympathy and said, "I feel bad for them." It moved him to do something. Sometimes we see people with a need, and the Holy Spirit tugs on our heart, and we have that compassion. Oh, I wish they got the gospel. I wish they would get saved. Then who's going to get them the gospel? Compassion moves us to do something. He saw their condition. It stirred him, but it stirred him to action. He saw their need. They were a sheep having no shepherd. They had a great spiritual need. And it says, and he began to teach them many things. I don't think we see the multitudes. I think we often just get stuck looking at ourselves. Set your affection on things above, not on things in this earth. If we have true compassion, we'll do something about it. I spent a lot of time with my dad over the last couple of months, in June and July, when my mom was in hospice, actually end of May, and up through July, back and forth, got there, out there like three different times. Spent a lot of time with dad. And Dad and I were out many times together, and I remember one time he reached in his pocket to get a tract to give someone, and he didn't have a tract in his pocket. And he just whispered silent prayer. He says, "Lord, forgive us for not having a tract." And it hit me. Yep. Some people be like, "I don't have a track, so I don't have to witness." He cares about souls. My wife and I visited Mrs. Derlich recently, and she mentioned that she wished she could do some more for the Lord. And then she piped up and she said, "Well, I did give a tract out at the restaurant recently, and the waitress went over and began to read it." She said, "When I went back the next time, that lady told me that she prayed and got saved." I don't think she just left it there. I think she purposely gave it to that lady. Why? I think she's the oldest member in our church. I think she just turned 88. And she said, I wish I could do more. But she did something. And God used it. If all of us do a little something, do a little bit more, then maybe we'll see a little bit more happen. Jesus, he cared about souls. That's how he conducted his business. Not only that, he worked long hours for souls. That's a hard one here, isn't it? Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye apart, yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Oh, they were tired. They had been ministry. Oh, yeah. The disciples, amen, time to rest. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much to eat. They didn't have any leisure time. A lot of times we use this verse to say, hey, Bible says come apart, you know, before you fall apart. Well, we love this verse, but really in context, I mean, and it is true. We do need some rest. I understand. It's true. It's okay to use it that way, but that's not the context. They were going to get rest, and Jesus knew they weren't really going to get rest. And it says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Then we get to that verse we just read, and there's a bunch of people out there. Man, we just tried to get away from you, and here you are, coming back to me. Leave me alone, I'm tired. They were tired, but the people came to Jesus. So what did he do? We just read what he did. He taught them the word of God. Why? Because they needed to know about the Lord. Why? Because he was about his Father's business. There are times when we're going to be tired. There are times when we don't feel like going a little bit more. And God says, go a little bit more. And you say, okay. We got to do it. The men in the Cobway Church, a lot of the folks in Zambia, the work schedules, work week's a little different. Starts at, you know, Monday through Friday, and they work all day and, you know, into the evening. And then on Saturdays, they work half a day, so probably till about 12:30 or so. And we would have our visitation in the afternoon because most people are still, a lot of people are still at work, so why go out in the morning? And so we went in the afternoon. So a lot of our guys would work all week. They've got half a Saturday off, and they'd be there on Saturday to go soul winning. And, of course, they go home. At home, you don't turn on the stove, you don't throw stuff in the microwave. It's all, you get the charcoal out or you get the fire out, and everything takes a little bit longer. Sunday is their only full day off. They come to church. A lot of them would come to church, stay all day, stay through the services. And on Sunday afternoon, they eat a little something. Usually it would be bread and milk, and the milk had a little bit of sugar added to it for energy. That was their Sunday afternoon lunch. And then on Sunday afternoon, a lot of them would just go out and go soul winning. Now, that was not a church program. I remember when I discovered, you know, the idea that you know, I knew a lot of them stayed through, and I'd go home and I'd and try to get some rest and recover from the morning and try to have enough strength to get out there and preach in the evening again. And then, yeah, Pastor, we were, get back there. Yeah, Pastor, we were out there visiting so-and-so, or we went out there since this guy here and this. And then I remember, this is years back, that's just what they did. It wasn't a scheduled time. They just wanted to be about the Father's business. And I wondered, do you really have a lot of time? They were about their Father's business. No prompting. No. You got to do this. Just, that's what they wanted to do. We get tired at times. Nicodemus went to Jesus. You remember what time of day it was? It wasn't in the morning, was it? He went to him at night. I don't know about you, but at night, I would like to sleep. But they went to him at night. Did he send him away? No. There are times when we're going to be tired, when we'd like to have a little rest, when there's a little bit more work, and we got to be willing to do it. I mentioned being back home in Connecticut, and I traveled there for my mom's funeral. And one night I was in a lot of pain. I was really wiped out, and I was heading in to check into a hotel, and there was a young lady at the front desk and gave her tract, and it was the Amazing Grace tract. She said, "I really need this right now." And you know what that is. That was an open invitation to start giving the gospel. I was in pain. I was tired. I went to the hotel because I wanted some sleep. But I must be about my Father's business. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not the greatest soul winner in the world. I'm not the one that's always, you know, I am Mr. Just obedient and ready to do everything. No, I'm not saying I am. But I'm thankful I did that evening. And it was late. And I witnessed for a long time to her. And she was understanding and she was in great conviction. She started crying and all that stuff. And as a result, she ended up getting saved. Why? Because sometimes, as the point was, we work long hours for souls. It's just what you do. There's a fall push coming up. I'm not a bus captain anymore. I remember the long hours. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of hours. And we just cut back a week from the fall push. So it's less of a lot of hours. But we can do something for the Lord. We may be tired, but we still need to have time for souls. So we're still talking about Jesus. We're still talking about how he conducted his business. How did he conduct his business? He cared about souls. He worked long hours for souls. He talked about souls. You can discover a lot about a person by observing what they talk about. Listen to what they talk about. Jesus was always talking about souls. He talked about the lost sheep, right? He talked about the multitudes. He talked about to the disciples about becoming fishers of men. He told them to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. He was always talking about souls and inviting people, come unto me. Just read through the Gospels and see what he was saying. He was always pointing people to the Father. What do we talk about? The Cubs, the Bears. Don't talk about the Bulls. There's nothing to talk about. Nothing. But he's always talking about souls. And by watching his life and listening to his conversation, we can only conclude that he was about his Father's business of souls. And what does our life say? And what does our speech say that we're about? What's our business about? I mean, some people are always talking about making a buck. You know, you ever find someone that gets in their own little business and they're all, you haven't heard from them for years, and all of a sudden they call you up, "Hey, brother, it's good to talk to you. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, how's things going? Hey, I got this product that's really changed my life." And some people say it's expensive, but I'll tell you, it's really done wonders. I think it'll help. I've gotten a few of those calls. I'm like, you know, I haven't heard from you for a long time. And now you want my money? Yeah. It's all about that business. Yeah, someone gets into business, it's all they talk about is their business, their product, their pyramid scheme, whatever it is. All right, so we talked about souls. Something else he did is he went out of his way for souls. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. There's a couple of examples of this. I don't know if I'll give them both to you for time's sake. But Matthew chapter number 15. I love some of these things that we see here in the scripture. In Matthew 15, he went out of his way for souls. Look there with me in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence, okay, he traveled and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. If you know anything about Tyre and Sidon, that is north of the land of Israel. Okay, so he traveled a distance, quite a distance, to get to this area of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now, this was not a place of the Jews, but why did he go there? Because there was a Canaanite woman who had a great need. And we see in verse number 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" So she was begging for help. And in verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." And so she had great faith, the scripture says. And then in verse 29, look what happens. "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there." Now get this. He went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Met one woman there. And he turned around and left. He went out of his way to reach one person. You know, sometimes winning souls is inconvenient. It's like, I gotta travel all the way down there, or I need to go home. I need to get to this, and I need to get to that. And you should give that guy a track. Yeah, but I'm busy. It's about my business. Sometimes we got to go out of our way. That's what Jesus did, because he was about his Father's business. That's not the only time. If you would look over with me in Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Now, usually when we see this passage, we look here in verse number 35. "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.'" And so then the rest of that passage talks about the great storm that comes, and Jesus, you know, calming the storm and saying, "Peace, be still." And there's great lessons and all that. But don't miss what happened. In verse 35, he says, "The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.'" He said, "Let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." And then we have all this little problem that happened, and the miracle and the great lessons that we learned there. But that's not primarily why he was going to the other side. Get to Mark chapter number 5, and you see why he went to the other side. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him." No, not with chains. This is a bad dude. "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." So why did he pass over into the other side of the Sea of Galilee? Because there was a madman. Because there was a man whose life had been destroyed by Satan. And Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee to change one man's life. And of course, that man was changed. He was clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And look what happens there in verse number 21. "And when..." So he does this great thing, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side. Much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Did you get that? He went over the sea. There was one man, a wicked man, who needed some help. He reached him, got back in the ship, and said, "Okay, guys, let's go." And he went all the way back. Jesus was about his Father's business. You know what that entailed? Going out of our way to reach souls. When it's not convenient. When you're at the gas station or whatever it is, you're going to the convenience store and you're like, "I'd like to give this track guy a track. I want to talk to him a little bit." There's another person there. Well, let the other person go and then go up there. And you say, "Oh, I'll take a few more minutes." And I think we just need to get back in rethinking. I need to be about my Father's business. I need to be looking for opportunities. And if it's going to cost me a little more time, it's going to cost me a little more time. If it's going to cost me a little inconvenience, it's going to cost me a little inconvenience. I got to be about my Father's business. Now, this is an easy message to preach, but it's really hard to live. Because when you're preaching it, you just keep talking about what Jesus did, but it's, yeah, automatic, isn't it? Jesus always went to seek lost souls, and he always received those who came to him. He never refused one lost soul. And again, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, he won't refuse you either. He came to seek and to save you. Now let's ask the last question and answer it. So the last question is, then why should we be in the same business? Why should we be in the same business? You say, "Well, that's good for Jesus. He was the Son of God." But why do I have to be in God's business? Well, if you're saved, isn't he your Father too? So let me give you a couple reasons why we should be in the same business. First of all, it's a family business. It's a family business. If we're in God's family, we ought to be involved in the family business. The family business is winning souls, discipling souls, reaching the lost. And many times, you know, we see a son following in his father's footsteps, right? I mean, James and John were fishermen. Why were they fishermen? Because their father was a fisherman. I'm not saying all our kids have to follow and do what we do, you know. But the point was that they learned their father's business. So if we're God's children, we ought to honor him by following in our Lord's footsteps. And we're even told that in 1 Peter 2:21 that we should follow his steps. So why should we be involved in God's business? It's family business. It's a family business. Let's do our part in the family. You know, we all are in this church. All of us who are saved and members of this church, it's one big church family. And I don't have to do what you have to do. I have to do what God wants me to do, and you have to do what God wants you to do. And if we're all doing what God wants us to do, then God's business is going to get taken care of. Point is, sometimes we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're taking care of our own business. We need to look at this. We need to think about this. I'm trying to challenge us and stir us up. It's a family business. Another reason is because it brings happiness. Yeah, it is a difficult job sometimes to win souls. And you know, if you do a job that you don't like, that's not easy, is it? If you do a job day in and day out and it brings no pleasure, it's like, why am I doing this? But you know what? God's business does bring pleasure. If we could all find a job that was satisfying, we'd all be happy. Well, I'll tell you, winning souls definitely brings joy. Psalm 126, verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless do what? Come again with rejoicing." You talk to someone who just saw someone get saved. Man, they're on cloud nine. They're all excited. They're all, you know, sometimes if I just get to give the plan of salvation to someone, even if they don't get saved, I'm happy. I just got to tell the story. We sing that song. I love to tell the story. I'm not going to sing it to you. But I love to tell the story. Isn't it exciting? You got to share how God changed your life. You got to give your testimony. You got to lift up the name of Jesus. You got to exalt him. You got someone to listen a little bit to the word of God. And you're, boy, if it didn't do anything for them, it did something for me. Boy, it's a good business. It brings happiness. Why? Because we're happy when we obey God and we're miserable when we don't. And those who don't witness, and those who don't give out tracts, and those who don't try to knock on some doors, and don't try to do something for the Lord, they're not happy. We can chase our own business and try to fulfill our own dreams, but we're only going to find satisfaction by giving our lives to God's business. And again, I'm not saying quit your job and go knocking on doors 40 hours a week. I'm not saying that. We can be looking for opportunities to sow the seed. You work for someone. You work with somebody. Whatever it is, just look to sow a seed somewhere. But we make excuses. Well, they're an Indian, or they're a Muslim, or they're Jewish. They don't believe like... All the more reason why we need to sow the seed. Boy, we just fill our minds with all sorts of excuses. It brings happiness. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Verse 4. Of course, we know these are parables about lost things. And we find here in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is what? Lost. And how long does he go after it? Until he find it. And when he have found it, he layeth out on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what we need to do? We need to get busy in God's business. This emphasis of this parable is about joy. Resulting from a lost sheep being found. It was his joy in verse 5. It was others' joy in verse 6. And it was God's joy in verse 7. And we spend so much time in our own business and our own pursuits trying to be happy when if we just got busy in God's business, that's where we're going to find joy. Go ahead, go after the world. I mean, you keep reaching for it, you keep grabbing it and trying to get it, and it doesn't satisfy. You want to be happy? Get in God's business. So, why should we be involved? It's a family business. It brings happiness. And lastly, it pays well. It pays well. Many people choose their businesses based on how much they're going to get paid. Well, God's businesses, his business pays eternal dividends. Amen. With any job you have in life, your compensation will run out. At the end of the month, you usually have the same amount as everybody else. Nothing. You spend it all. That's not the case with God. In John chapter 4, we see what Jesus was doing. He was busy about his father's business. He was showing this woman at the well salvation. And in John chapter 4, verse 34, he's challenging his disciples. And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Verse 36, he says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. I don't know about you, but I like wages. You know, payday? I like payday. And in heaven, I hope I'm getting a little bit. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. We need to get busy and look on the fields. And when we reap, we get some wages. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You want a prosperous business? Get in God's business. Again, I'm not saying go quit your job. I need to be more soul conscious. I need to be willing to go out of my way. I need to be willing to, if I'm a little bit tired, to not just pack it in so quickly. And I think if you're honest, you'd have to say the same thing. Perhaps you're saying, well, I should be about my Father's business. That's not enough. We need to have the attitude that Jesus had. Not I should be. I must. I must. Because there's some soul who's not going to be saved if I don't get busy. We must. That leaves us with a choice.